But the end of that man is peace.
I'll say what you probably are all aware of, but we do have some children that might not be aware of it. When it says perfect man, it does not mean sinless, does not mean without flaws. It means a single-minded, a sincere person, a wholehearted person. Mark the Christian and watch him. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Works is used in that verse, as it is frequently in the scriptures, to indicate a way of living, not just a particular performance with your hands of a task. The same way when it talks about walking, it's not talking about one foot in front of another, but it's talking about a manner of living. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 9. But because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers. It's in Titus chapter 2 and verse 7 where we read, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. You see, God many times challenges us to set ourselves up to be watched. But we'd rather not do that, because it calls us into account for our way of living. And that, my friends, is precisely what our Lord wants to accomplish. For then we will become more dependent on him if we know people are watching us. When we know someone is watching us, we do differently. We do better. And we ought to. That's not hypocrisy. That's just doing better. Now, looking again at Psalm 37, Mark the perfect man. I want you to look at what leads up to verse 37. And I can call this the frustration of righteous people. And this is a problem for us. Now, it was not only true in David's time when he wrote this psalm, it's true today. And this problem is the prosperity of the wicked. When bad people, when evil people prosper. Look at verse 1, Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And then verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. The Christian with a covetous heart doesn't live that way. The Christian who covets what other people have is not going to believe verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than riches. Now, that doesn't mean it's wrong to try to better yourself. It does not mean that it's wrong to try and improve your circumstances in life, but it is wrong to envy and to covet what another person has. To fret is to worry. Well, I knew that's what the Bible meant, So I went to a regular dictionary to see what it means today. You know what it means today? It means the same thing, to word. Yeah. And what we see in Psalm 37 are lives contrasted. God says, compare the life of the righteous man and the life of the unrighteous man. And listen to me. Compare them beyond today. Compare them beyond what you see today. Or next month. Or 3 years from now. You'll understand what I mean by that. You see the end of the godly in these verses. Psalm 32 verse 2. This is about the ungodly. By the way, ungodly doesn't mean a murderer, okay, or a terrorist, or a pervert. Ungodly means somebody who isn't righteous.
That's right.
Somebody who isn't living for God.
That's right.
Their degree and level of ungodliness will vary.
Sure.
But if they're without God, they're not living for righteousness. Verse 2, all right? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Verse 15, their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. In other words, they're going to reap what they sowed. Okay? The very things that they put on to other people is what's going to do them in. Verse 20. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. Into smoke shall they consume away. Verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Big, you know, tremendous branches. That's what I've seen. The wicked in great power. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Listen, the wicked, the unbeliever, the ungodly die. And then what? And then what? Then eternity in a place called hell. We don't desire that for them, but God says that is what's coming to them. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Yeah. Sometimes you look for the ungodly, and what happened to them? You know, they used to be so prominent, and now what are they? Well, some of them might be a homeless person. Some of them, years ago, we'd say they were riding the rails. They were the old-time hobo that just traveled on railroad cars here and there. And then look at verse 36, or verse 37. But mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. We read all those verses that told us what the end of the ungodly are, and now God tells us the end of the righteous man, the godly man, is peace. You know, I don't feel very peaceful. Well, then get yourself right with your God. Line up your life with the Bible.
Amen.
Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright man. For the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. Oh, they take great comfort in having support one from another. They can laugh together standing at the bar. They can laugh together wherever it is that they've gathered to do their mischief. mischief in our terminology seems, you know, just a little bad, you know, not really too bad. Hey, when the Bible uses mischief, it's wickedness. The transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Oh, my lands of mercy. Friends, God says that when you are considering what looks like the good life, the high life of the unsaved, the wicked, people who don't have time for God, don't forget their end. Amen. Consider what God does for his people. Listen, that's why I said, you can't take this just for what's today or next month or even a year or two from now. Listen, whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. Okay, and the reaping doesn't always come as quickly as what we might think will. Verse 4 tells us, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Don't delight in the things of others. Don't delight in their wrong things. What do you desire? Do you desire good things, good life, good living? I didn't say, do you know you should? I asked what you do. If you will delight in the good things of God, God will bless. If you struggle with that, that's a good place to start your prayer life. Okay? And the first thing to do is ask God to help you to repent of those wrong thoughts.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? And to change your way of thinking.
Right.
Look at verse 5. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Confidence in God. Commitment to God. The Apostle Paul said, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith. I believe in the context of this verse, it's talking about dependence upon God. We walk by faith. We don't walk by what we can achieve. We don't, here again, walk. It's not talking one foot in front of the other. It's talking about how we live. We don't live by what we can achieve. That's what we would see. But we live by depending on God. Faith, depending on God. The Apostle Paul says we're to commit ourselves to that way of living. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And then you're going to have what you want. Now, that's a very loose paraphrase of the rest of the verse, okay? But I believe that's what it's telling us. There's a lot of things we'd like in our life. We aren't always going to get every little thing we want, but we'll get all that we need when we've committed our way to the Lord. Now, that's easy to say, but it is not always easy to live. I know that. Okay, and so sometimes the very beginning of change in our life is to admit to God we need to be changed. Listen, when you pray to God and when you're alone, it isn't like when we ask you to pray here at church. We ask you to pray here at church, and I know we don't have a big highfalutin prayer life here and prayer terminology, but nevertheless, the way that you would pray audibly, leading us all in prayer, would be appropriate to leading us all in prayer. My lands, when you're at home and you're pleading with God for something, boy, then that you're talking different to God then. Because you're not leading anybody else, you're leading yourself. And you need to express your heart to God.
Amen.
Oh, yes. And the long-term outlook is what's important.
Amen.
For the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. It's the long-term outlook. Verse 16 says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Now, just because you have a little doesn't mean that you're righteous. Don't confuse those things, okay? But it says, if you're righteous and all you have is a little bit compared to your neighbor or a coworker that shows up in a new car, and he's going on vacation. Where would you like to go on vacation that you can't? And that's where he's going. That little bit that you have as a righteous man is better. It's better than the riches. Doesn't just say of the wicked, of many wicked. So you put together that co-worker or two, that neighbor, that uncle or that cousin, all right, or whoever. And you put that all together and you realize, oh man, I've worked my butt off. And I go to church every time the doors are open. I even read my Bible and pray. And this is all I got. Now be careful, because the next step is to begin to blame God for what you don't have. Now you're on dangerous ground. Believe me, very dangerous ground. It's better to have just a little bit and to be righteous than it is to have many. Knowing that as true and living that as true, they do not always coordinate. I mean, let's just tell it like it is. But we can get them to coordinate, because that's what God wants from us. And he knows that if we're going to be marked for people to watch us, we've got to get them to coordinate. Because just like kids that can see right through you, so can that unsaved scoundrel, okay? Whether he's a co-worker, a neighbor, or relative, or whatever he is, okay? they can see right through our false front. But it doesn't have to be false. And I'm not accusing, please, I'm not accusing anybody who's sitting here of having a false front. But I wasn't born yesterday. Oh. Or as my one son-in-law used to say, oh, this morning. No, I know how it can be. But I've also been around long enough and read enough of this book to know how it can be. And it can be the way God wants it to be. And it's so satisfying, isn't it? So satisfying when in any area we get our lives in sync with God. Okay, right now the big thing with any device that you have is you can sync it with another one. And you get these pop-ups. You want to sync it with everything else you have. Okay, and getting it in sync. Well, okay, we can get our life in sync with God. It's what he wants. Contentment is valuable because it provides peace. Satisfaction is valuable because it brings us that fulfillment that we need and want. Being rich has its problems. Being rich has its problems. Now, the reason I'm chuckling is because I remember at a point in a time in my life, I'm not going to tell you, no, it wasn't yesterday. I remember when I thought, well, I wouldn't mind trying some of them problems for a while. Now, I know none of you ever felt that way. And you can be glad. But no, to be very serious, lottery winners. It's interesting. You go online and Google it or whatever search engine you use, and the outcome of people who win the lottery. I'm not talking about a $50 ticket or even a $500 one. I mean people who win big. You know their outcome?
Yeah.
Most of them end up divorced. Of course, when their money's gone, so are all the friends that surrounded them and drank on their tab. And their purpose in life was lost. They didn't need to go to work anymore. They were pleased to call their boss and say, I'm not coming into work anymore. You can take that job in. I won't say it. Yeah. They lost purpose. Because you see, work is not just to earn some money. I mean, it is for that, to earn sustenance, okay? Earn money to buy your food. But it also gives some purpose. And the people who win the lottery, they lose their purpose in life. And they lose their place in life because they are no longer meaningful in their family for who they are. Now anymore, all people see when they look at them is dollar signs. Yeah, they lose it all. Oh yeah, the money. Most of them end up broke. I was blown away when I first read these things that I just shared with you, and that's a number of years ago now. But all of this, okay, so don't envy. You know, it's better to have a little as a righteous man than to have many riches, none of which are going to be meaningful. A little is a good teacher and a wise preparer for our lives. Look at verse 19. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. We're talking about now the upright and the righteous person. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Now that doesn't mean in the days of famine, when there's little food, that the righteous person is not going to be hungry. I don't believe that's what it's telling us. But you see, they'll be satisfied with what they have. You say, well, if they don't have enough food. And I've thought about this with what could be coming to our country. Now, I don't have $5,000 to buy the big Patriot package that'll give me food for 3 months. But I have wondered to myself, if somebody has $2,000 and buys the big Patriot package and it keeps them in food for a month, what happens if at the end of the month things haven't returned to a resemblance of normal? They're still going to be without stuff. You say, yeah, but if you don't have one of those Patriot packages, you're going to die. I like what John R. Rice said when a guy was trying to hold him up. He said, I have a gun here, I'll kill you. And he said, you can't threaten me with heaven. Now listen, I would not like the death experience. To die of starvation, to die without water. Now starvation, what is it? 2 weeks and you begin on the way downhill. And how long is it only without water? It's an even shorter period, okay? And so you say, but you're gonna die. Yeah, I wouldn't look forward to that. I do not anticipate that as being a pleasant thing. But I do like what the Apostle Paul said. For me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. Yeah. And I have honestly thought of that. You see, when you get older, you begin to think about things, and you can tend to fret about things. It's somehow fret seems easier than worry. And so, but I thought to myself, okay, so we lose our electric, all of my food spoils, and the grid shut down. There's no heat. Oh, well, that'd be a help. If I froze to death, that'd be easier. But those are some actual possibilities, aren't they? If things get as disastrous, read the Voice of Martyrs and what the people live with. Think about the people in Gaza who do not have food, do not have water, and what they're experiencing. Verse 19. Now verse 20 says, the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of the lambs, and they shall consume into smoke, they shall consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Yeah. Just think about it. All of this that's going on. That's why God says, mark the perfect man. Observe him. Observe how he handles these things. Observe how he lives. He's not in a panic, which doesn't mean there isn't a concern. And it doesn't mean that there aren't some things that we can do, but what we should do, that is what I would call being responsible. But realize that after I've eaten my 24 cans of ravioli, I'll probably be glad to die. Because
amen.
After 24 cans of whatever. Seriously, though. There must come some place where there's a trust in God and a walking with God. What should we say about all this? Verse 30, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The law of God is in the heart. It's what controls the life. And though he faces the same tragedies and crises that everybody else does, there is a stability there that keeps his life from falling apart and going to pieces. We're going to... I've asked Grace to play this last verse. If you'll turn in your book to, it was page 98. And we're going to sing the first verse. And again, if you will, please, softly, in somewhat of a subdued manner, be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Grace.
Thank you.
that our life can be marked and that what others see in us will point them to the Lord Jesus Christ.